Hello, everyone. Welcome to a new episode of our coverage of Star Trek Lower Decks. This time we're talking episode 6, but we are talking episode 6 both of the final season, season 5, as well as episode 6 of the first season, season 1. That is, Gods and Angels is episode 6 of season 5. Terminal Provocations from the 10th of September 2020 is episode 6 of season 1. I am Bob in Cascadia. That is Matt in the Southland. Matt, how are you doing this evening?
Doing well, Bob. Man, Lower Decks, going back and watching these first season episodes while also watching the season 5 episodes, just so many great comparisons. And just sometimes they play off each other well. I think
they do.
I love it.
Yeah, I will say until this episode, it's in some ways it's not been doing Lower Decks a favor because I've been enjoying the season one more than I've been enjoying the final season. But in this one, I think our episode 6 of season 5, Gods and Angels, holds its own. I mean, just to start with, you're having this gag of orbs and cubes with alien intelligence, and that did make me laugh.
Yeah, that's hilarious. Isn't there some like famous sci-fi thing called Discworld where this is a thing where geometric shapes fight each other? Or am I just making this all up?
You might be making it up, or it might be a thing. It's not Discworld. I've never read Discworld, despite many lame friends trying to get me in it. I'm talking to you, Alan, Noah, Danny. I'm talking to you. But Discworld, as I understand it, is about a world shaped like a donut. That's a fantasy world.
Where
there's a lot of fantasy tropes being explored.
Maybe I'm thinking of a thing called Flat World. Something out there that had the same idea of geometric shapes battling each other. And it just stuck in my brain.
Maybe you're thinking, I've never read it. It's supposed to be important. But there's a 19th century novel by Edwin Abbott, who is a British mathematician, called Flat Land.
That's it. Yeah, I think I read that a long, long, long ass time ago. Yeah,
I've never read it. It gets a lot of hype, but I've just the topic always didn't interest me particularly.
Well, that make it seem kind of interesting here, Bob, between the cubes and the orbs.
Should I read Flatland?
I don't know, Bob. I read it a long ass time ago, and I don't even remember much about it. I don't remember if this is part of it. So that tells you something there.
Yeah, I think it was more like conceptual jokes about math.
Yeah,
was like personified orbs and cubes, but I'd never read it, so I could be wrong.
Does that sound entertaining to you? Not to me.
Not really, but I mean, I teach a science fiction class, and it is a quote unquote important 19th century science fiction novel, so I should probably be familiar with it.
I think it's funny that I confused Discworld with Flatland.
In some ways, it's kind of the exact opposite.
Yeah.
In other ways, I see where you were going.
Yeah, there we go.
I bet there is a science fiction series called Flatworld, too. It would be really surprising if there wasn't.
Yeah.
All right. So I will say, when I first saw, we get a new character this episode, Ensign Ollie. When I first saw her laurels, I was wondering if she were Greek or if she was an alien. And then it's very wild that they tie her in with Apollo from the original series, and they make her, I think, the granddaughter of Zeus, they said.
Yeah, I felt proud for calling this, Bob, because when I saw the laurels, all I was thinking about was Apollo. I was like, oh, yeah, from TOS. Well, yeah, there we go. How was she tied to that character? Was there any doubt, though, throughout the episode at the beginning that she was hiding those electrical powers? You pretty much caught them pretty quick. Yeah, it was obvious.
No, for sure. Yeah. And it was very akin to, there's an episode with a girl in the Next Gen. I want to say it's Hiding Q, but maybe it's a different one, where the girl is descended from the Q and has powers. This felt a more cynical and funny take on that.
Yeah, I could see that.
Did you catch the weird reference where Boimler starts talking about Ronald Moore, who famously a writer on DS9 and the showrunner of the rebooted Battlestar Galactica? And he was talking about like Ronald Moore, the comedian. I really didn't get what was up with that.
I didn't get the joke either. And I honestly, I didn't know who Ronald Moore was. So I looked him up and I was like, okay, so there is some connection here with sci-fi, but I didn't understand it. Maybe it was just a joke that bombed.
I don't know. Like it, because famously Ronald Moore, I think, right. You know, the rebooted Battlestar Galactica is pretty grim.
Right.
And I think he wrote some grim DS9 episodes and a grim Voyager episode where, like, on the barge of the dead.
A comedian. Like, it's not funny. His stuff's not humorous.
Yeah.
His writing is not humorous. So it's ironic. Okay.
But it's still a bad joke that didn't land.
Yeah.
We're having to kind of puzzle about it. Speaking of like weird little references with Boimler, did you notice that in their quarters, Rutherford and Boimler have a figurine collection?
Oh, yeah. And I got excited about it, Bob. They had a green suited Kirk and they had a Wrath of Khan Kirk in there, too.
Matt put Wrath of Khan as an abbreviation in the notes. And my first thought was he was saying it was, oh, God, what's that stupid fantasy?
World of Warcraft.
World of Warcraft.
Yeah.
Is a World of Warcraft Kirk? What?
Yeah, I wrote it as Walk, which just comes off strange, but yeah, it's there.
I would cook Jim Kirk in a walk. Moving on. So, Matt, is Ensign Ollie just an evil Tendi?
I mean, I did not make that connection, Bob. I just saw her more as like Mariner, which I think they pretty much sum up at the end of the episode.
I partially just mean that because I felt like it might be Tendi's voice actor, Dewey.
Oh.
But I didn't actually look.
Okay, I don't know.
Yeah, and I don't want to crash the recording, so I should look now. I will say, I do love a good Star Trek murder mystery, and I don't think they've done one in Lower Decks so far, so it's nice to have a good little murder mystery.
Yeah, it was nice to have that, and then you saw Boimler's mustache just keeps on growing, getting better, getting nice.
Yeah, he's got a mustache. Yeah, sorry. He's got a mustache, he's got a soul patch, he's got stubble on the rest of his face.
Yeah.
I'm thinking he's really making strides in being a good character, but then he just sucks up to Teyana so hard, and that's like maybe the worst Boimler's ever been as a character.
Yeah, it was pretty rough with him talking to Teyana and trying to convince her that he knew what he was talking about.
Matt, were you more impressed by Teyana's wrestling game when she takes Boimler down, or were you more impressed by the cubes and orbs going all Cyclops with optic blast of force?
I really liked Teyana's wrestling game, Bob, and this whole scene, it was hilarious watching her beat Boimler, but also it just gave this cat in a coat something to do.
How do you feel about Mariner and arguably the show itself saying that the cubes are more annoying than scary?
Okay, my question is, Bob, how much do regular folk in this universe remember their experiences with Q?
This is a potentially creepy answer, but I think it would apply to talking about any gods. They remember as much as the Q or the gods want them to remember.
So there you go. So I don't know like how much actual exposure or how many of those memories been altered.
I don't know.
There's a lot going on there. Maybe the Qs portray themselves as more annoying than scary to these people, and then that's how they're like...
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting. So on a similar note, we have Mariner telling Ollie she believes in her. And it was, I'm not sure if the writers were going for this, but I think they were, that there's an interesting ambiguity is Mariner saying that she believes in Ollie as a fellow officer, as a junior officer that's
right.
mentoring. Or is she saying that she believes in Ollie as like a god and this belief is helping power Ollie's electrical powers?
I think she meant her as god. So that was my interpretation.
Matt's always looking for signs of worship.
Yeah. Lord, I lift your name on high.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Lord, I love to sing your praises.
Thank you for bringing that energy to the podcast. I know the Star Trek fans, they love the Christianity.
You came from heaven to earth to show the way.
Oh, man, it's like poetry. It's like poetry.
You're welcome.
Well, to go from the beautiful to the ridiculous, any thoughts about Boimler getting sodomized by a lightning bolt?
I mean, they had to go there at some point, Bob. He finally got sodomized, final season.
By a lightning bolt.
Yes.
Truly something. Truly something. I do have to say that the saying that one of the orbs has of orbs orbulate, that really made me laugh. And I also really liked Ransom getting offended. He's yelling, it's just a bigger orb and a bigger cube. They're not creative at all. Which... having the big orbs and the big cube fight did feel like, I don't know if the original series ever literally did that, but it felt like a great original series homage.
What about Next Generation, Bob? Didn't it fit in with that a little better?
I guess they had the Borg cubes, but did they ever fight it? I guess they probably fought giant orbs.
They fought Borg orbs in First Contact. And they were really big.
Well, no, it was smaller, right? The spear was like an escape pod.
Yeah, cube. Yeah, but they still had big ones too. You know, they did.
Matt, so I like this episode a whole lot. Is it actually better than the first five, or is it just I didn't stay up late to watch it and watched it on Thursday night and was in a better mood?
I think the jokes are hitting better. It also paired nicely with the season one offering that we are going to cover today, so I think that fit into it as well. And I think it went back to what makes the show so great and having this issue between two different warring factions. They're trying to bring peace between two people. But of two different factions, but at the same time, there's this other subplot going on with Boimler and Lower Decks.
They found new original series and next-gen tropes to make fun of.
Yes.
Or at least to make fun of them in a slightly new way, where for a lot of season five, it's felt like they're just retreading the same tropes that they've mocked before.
Right. Maybe same territory. A lot of the same stuff, yeah.
I did want to ask, so we see Teyana, you know, doing the surgery to remove the lightning bolt from Boimler's anus, and she's sweating. Are you grossed out by the cat sweating, Matt?
Do cats sweat, Bob?
I don't know.
I have a cat. I've lived with a cat for 20-something years. I still have not. I couldn't tell you if they sweat or not.
I assume if they do, the fur kind of keeps it in, but I don't really know. So, I mean, they have to. Don't pretty much all mammals sweat?
Hit us up on Twitter, folks. Sweating cats.
Yeah.
Need to know.
Yeah. Give us basic biological knowledge that you should already be familiar with as cat owners.
Yeah, we could totally Google this, but, you know, we'd rather hear from you.
Yeah, yeah. We'd rather hear you make fun of us on X, the Everything app.
Oh.
Oh, man, man. X, the Everything app's getting pretty dead. I don't want to go to Blue Sky, though. There's so many liberals on Blue Sky.
I'm just thankful I'm not on either of them. I just hang on Facebook and Reddit.
Truly the healthiest, as I meant. Well, speaking of healthy, I really loved Rutherford's line. Staying true to yourself is wrong. You've got to copy someone.
Yes, you really do. You can't just be yourself. You got to be somebody that's better. That's how they got where they are. They copied someone else too.
And we do see at the end when Mariner is quizzing Ollie, she has some really good questions about Medusa.
Yeah, they're questions I've never really considered. This show is just making my mind like blossom. Do the snakes have names? Are they all one controlled snake?
So Matt, who's your character of the episode?
I'm going to give it to Dr. Tiana, Bob, just because she had something to, you know.
Is this the first time you've ever given it to Dr. T?
Yeah, I think it is, Bob. First time.
Yeah, usually growing that's
to love the character,
Bob.
Yeah.
Oh, that's coming around. I'll give it to Ensign Ollie. Do you think we'll ever see her again?
Probably not, no.
Yeah, I was thinking probably not either, but maybe she'll show up like in a crowd shot in the finale or something.
Let me say, I just want to see a live-action Dr. Tiana. Please make that happen somehow.
You've seen the great cosplay costume of Dr. Tiana, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, which is just a house cat in a doctor's
outfit. Yeah. I want them to train an actual cat to be Dr. Tiana. I don't want CGI. I want Tim Burton training squirrels for Charlie and the Chocolate Factory level cat training.
Yeah. Yeah, no, just an actual normal house cat in a lab coat. That would be so cute and so funny.
And I don't want Disney World Lion King representations. I don't want that CGI stuff or whatever they used for that. It was not good. No dead face. Tiana needs emotion.
Well, Matt, moving into episode 6 of season 1, Terminal Provocations, I just want to begin by observing that I really missed the season 1 trope of an episode starting with Shax or Ransom beating on Boimler. That's a sad loss.
Well, this is a real legit reoccurring gag, because I think it may have been in the first season.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see. I think we've run through the people most likely to beat him up.
Yeah.
Between Tiana, in which I don't think we'd ever seen before.
Right.
This last season episode we just talked about, and then Shax and Ransom. But maybe we'll see Rutherford deck him. Maybe we'll see Billups deck him. Maybe we'll see Freeman deck him.
Yeah, I'd like to see Freeman deck him. That'd be nice.
Oh, we do need to see the Temarian security officer, whose name I don't know. The Temarian security officer should definitely beat Boimler up before the show. So, speaking of weird things about Dr. T, Matt, I really did enjoy the line, "Do you know how hard it is to get cheese out of fur in a sonic shower?" It's Mariner's response to that is, "What's a cat doing eating cheese?"
Yeah, more questions here, Bob. This is what this podcast is going to turn into about. Cats don't like water. So we know they don't like to shower now, but a sonic shower, maybe that'd be better for a cat. Maybe.
It sounds like it's not very good for fur, though.
Yeah, it's not okay.
It sounds like a water shower might be better for fur.
But with hair, but humans have hair too, and they're taking these sonic showers.
Yeah, but fur is a lot more intense than hair.
Yeah, I guess you're covered with it. Bob, have you ever given your cat nachos? You ever like just put like some cheese and chips out and see if they'll eat it?
No, never done that. My cat's bad. This is gross, but she likes to lick the grease of a calzone off a plate after I eat a calzone.
Right.
I let her do that. But I've tried to give her little pieces of like steak and chicken that I've cooked before for something else.
Yeah.
She's usually not interested.
Oh, mine will eat chicken, but I've never seen it lick cheese.
It didn't seem like cheese would be good for cats.
Just for experimental purposes, I'm going to try to give my cat a little bit of cheese just to see what happens.
As a treat.
Yes.
Well, Matt, were you shocked that maybe we saw the possible origin of Starbase 80 in episode 6?
Oh, yeah. It goes all the way this far back, Bob. We've known about Starbase 80 for a long time. And we talk about continuity on Young Justice, but this show has some pretty good continuity.
Well, Matt, who did you find more intimidating, Fletcher or Badgie?
Badgie will straight up murder you like a Mortal Kombat character, Bob. So I'm going to be more afraid of Badgie than Fletcher.
But Fletcher's going to betray you in a way you just don't expect.
Yeah, but Badgie is just, he would straight up murder you.
Did you find yourself sympathizing more with Badgie or more with Rutherford as the impatient father?
I do not sympathize with our eventual overlord, so.
But is the overlord in this analogy, is it Rutherford or is it Badgie?
Totally Badgie. AI is going to kill us all, Bob. Just wait for it.
I think you're way, way too much buying in.
Don't worry, Bob. Crypto's coming soon, too. Don't worry.
Exactly. It's the same people telling us that crypto is the future.
And my Laserdisc player is working great.
Another joke I did enjoy from this was when our Beta Shift crew confronts the Delta Shift, and one of the Delta Shift guys says very derisively to Mariner, "Is this Beta Shift's version of a badass?"
Yeah, because it really matters if you're the badass on Beta Shift. You ever worked a shift job where you had to like share anything, like a desk or a position or anything like that? Have you ever had to do that?
I mean, the kitchens I worked in had shifts.
Right.
And then I don't know, as a part-timer, I share offices with people.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I've never really had to do that before, so it's interesting to me to think that, oh yeah, somebody be tagging in for me later on in the evening.
Well, I think both between like this in our woke HR world, you don't want to give anybody any leverage to ever complain about you to HR. And also just, it's a part-time job. I don't care. I'm not trying to have any conversations with coworkers that are not absolutely necessary.
100%. Yeah, I agree. So I wouldn't want to talk to Beta Shift either.
Which in that sense, Beta Shift coming to talk to Delta Shift, it is literal violence.
Yeah, there you go.
So Matt, who's angrier in this episode? Is it Shax? Is it Fletcher? Is it Badgie? Or is it Rutherford?
Bob, it's always going to be Badgie.
Wow, Matt's really afraid of Badgie.
I really am, Bob. Badgie scares me.
I'm going to give it to Rutherford because I was really surprised at the depths of his paternal resentment in this episode.
Yeah, he's pretty angry.
I will say I was surprised at how hard this episode is teasing Tindy and Rutherford as a potential couple and Boimler and Marinan as a potential couple.
Yeah, I do remember in the first season when I first watched it, I did think they were going to shoot for having Boimler and Marinan together by the end of the series, but that's completely gone now.
Both are gone, and we're so much better with them gone, I feel like. Do you remember being pumped for the tease about the Titan in this episode, Matt?
But was it after Star Trek Picard, or was it?
It was before.
Before.
Season one of this was before season one of Picard.
So we hadn't even seen Jonathan Frakes show up on the Titan at the end of Picard. So this is like the first real...
No.
Or am I thinking of something completely different? What am I thinking of?
You see the Titan at the end of this season.
Of Lower Decks.
And then you see Riker as a supporting character in Picard, and then he shows up at the end of Picard season one. I'm not sure if that's the Titan or a different ship.
He does the exact same thing he does in Lower Decks.
Yeah.
Yeah, it just shows up at the end. Yeah, okay.
It was better. Lower Decks did it first, and it was better.
Right, yeah, I agree.
All right, Matt, who's your character of the episode?
Gonna go with Badgie, Bob. This is Badgie's winning this.
Badgie has the most anger, and Badgie is the more intimidating, and Matt's going with him for character of the week.
Yeah, all right. I'm telling you, episode 6, Bob, of Lower Decks season 1 is the origin of Badgie, and Badgie is going to murder us all one day.
That's what's coming. I'm going to give it to Shax, especially for the line, Captain, please let me shoot the warp core. I've been very good this month.
Shax has this unhealthy obsession with warp cores, but...
Hey, man, it's the logical climax of any Starship Exchange.
Truly, it is.
Well, this has been our coverage of Episode 6 of Star Trek Lower Decks Season 5 and Season 1. I am Bob in Cascadia. That's Matt in the Southland. Have a good night, everyone.
Thanks for listening.